Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning, 26th of November. And you know what day it is? It's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Robert in. I'm in for the long run.
Robert's in. We're here on Thanksgiving. Hey, sickos never rest, man. We keep rolling. It's what we do. Well, how's your day planned out, Robert?
Well, after I leave here, I get some rest, and then I have to come back and run a football game. And then after that, I get to kick it with my family.
What game are you covering today?
Washington football team versus Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. All right. The Cowboys. Well, I think the other game was canceled, wasn't it, due to COVID? Pittsburgh
and the Baltimore. Baltimore and Pittsburgh game.
Yeah. So where Baltimore closed their schools down to COVID again. So did New York. It's crazy, man. Wild world we're living in these days.
Now you never know. Everything is uncertain. So.
No, you got that right. 2020 can't leave here fast enough. I'm working on it. We're getting close. All right, our sponsors today, we want to thank Texan Roofing and Boyd's One Stop for being our Thanksgiving show sponsors today. All right, let's do a little weather real quick before we go over and talk to Bill Watkins. Looking at, looks like an east-northeast wind just across the board this morning. Some people like that wind and some people don't. So that's kind of the way it is. I'll go ahead and throw tides out there real quick while I'm looking at them. We have a high that occurred at the Galveston Channel at 1:08 a.m. It was a 1.2. Then we have a low coming up at 8:15 a.m., an 0.4. Then a high at 3:02 p.m., a 1.2. And then a low tonight at 8:29 p.m., an 0.9. Sunrise this morning, 6:53 a.m. Sunset this evening, 5:21 p.m. Our moon phase is 81%. That first full moon will be Monday. All right, looking at weather in Galveston, it's 65 down on the island. Winds are kind of east-northeast. They're going up there about 10, 15, maybe 17 knots. And looking at the forecast today, they're throwing in a 30% chance. So here we go. Rain tomorrow for sure. Partly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms possible. High of 73, east-northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, rain chances pick up to 50% with gusty winds, and some of them could have small hail. Imagine that. It's almost December. South-southeast winds 5 to 10, and then for tomorrow, thunderstorms are likely. Some of these storms may contain strong gusty winds, high around 75. South-southeast 10 to 15, that rain chance is 80%. And we could get rainfall amounts up to 1 inch. We could use it. Never thought I'd ever hear myself say that again. We could use a little rain after what we've been through the last few years. But got a pretty good front coming Sunday, and it's really going to change things. we're going to get some gale force winds out of it when it blows in. And next week, early next week, looks pretty grim. All right, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston, the buoy out there showing an east-northeast wind at 16, gusting to 18. Barometric pressure is 30 inches even. And the Eagle Point, east-northeast, 13 to 15. And Morgan's Point, northeast at 7 to 10. So there you have it. There's our weather and everything. And happy Thanksgiving. We're all here. And I hadn't seen anybody on the Sickos page yet. Somebody will get a thread going here before too long on Dead Book. All right, let's go over to Sabine Lake and let's get cranked up with Bill Watkins and see what he's got on the pit this morning. Bill, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Yeah, same to you. I'll be putting old Turkey Tom on the pit here in about two more hours. I'm going to light him up.
You got a plan.
I did. I'm using what they call the spatchcock method. That's where you cut down the backbone and
like you do a chicken, yeah.
Yeah, I spatchcock my turkeys.
Okay.
I call it Sasquatch because it's easier to say.
Hey, a turkey will get big. You cut him through the back and open him up. That'll cover a big area.
The 15-pound turkey will barely fit in my big rectangular stainless steel pan.
Wow.
And I've got him all seasoned up and ready to go. Aluminum foil on top of him and sealed up around the edges. And he'll go in that pit in a couple hours, and he'll be ready in three.
Any special seasoning you're throwing on that booger?
Huh?
Any special rub or anything you're putting on that booger?
I pretty much use Tony Sacheri's and rub a little butter underneath the breast.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Cajun eyes, that puppy.
it cooks very moist like that. Oh, man, it's just really good.
Well, this Thanksgiving, it's just me and my wife. Everybody's hunting or, you know, scattered out. And I did the easy thing this year. I let Belleville do the cooking for me. I ordered a turkey breast online. They shipped it right to the door. And all I have to do is heat it up. It's ready to
That's
roll.
Smart.
It's smoked turkey breast.
That's smart. Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it.
Oh, I came home from duck hunting yesterday, and the whole house smelled like fresh cookies. The Christmas cookie bake was on yesterday.
Oh, wow.
How many bags of Christmas cookies are made up. It was pretty gaudy looking.
That's great, man. That's
and I didn't get a batch of my favorite cookies she makes is cowboy cookies. Those are the ones I like to take hunting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with their oatmeal, coconut, with chocolate chips. And they're just absolutely to die for. I'm not into all that other Christmas cookie stuff with all the... Well, they got one batch... Well, several batches she made have the bourbon in them with the cherries and pineapple and all that kind of stuff. I'm not into it. It's kind of like a drunken fruitcake cookie to me.
But, man, that sounds good.
They're good. Yeah. A lot of people really like them, but I like those cowboy cookies.
Yeah, my mama, when she was alive, she made oatmeal raisin pecan cookies.
Yeah.
And it was a chewy cookie. And those things were like a meal and a cookie.
Oh, yeah.
It'd fill you up. That was fine.
You out. If you eat too many
and fill you out. That's
fill
why I'm like I'm into that. Yeah. Well, did duck hunting successful?
Oh, I had a great shoot yesterday morning. I went with my son's boss, Tim. Him and his buddy, Jimmy. Tim has a really nice marsh pond. And we went to it yesterday morning right when that front was coming through and had a little bit of rain. And, boy, after the sky broke, the ducks started flying. And Man, they were responding to a call good yesterday. You can just reel them in on a string, man. And
that's
all good ducks. We didn't have a teal or any garbage ducks, you know, like, you know, divers like your bluebills and shovelers and all that. But we had three gadwall, three pintail drakes, and boy, I had to beat them off of us. Once you get those three pintails, one apiece, they just keep coming. But
I love pintail.
Then about 8:15, somebody let the gate open with widgeons everywhere, and we finished off with 12 widgeons to go with them. So we had a really beautiful strap of birds.
Yeah, that's
great,
really neat,
man. You know, instead of being fast and furious, you could work them in, and you know, singles or twos and threes and fours, and it just made it for a perfect hunt. You didn't get all overwhelmed with ducks falling everywhere, and you know, not being able to keep up with them. It was just a Man, it's just a beautiful hunt. I mean, really a great hunt.
I fished 3 or 4 days straight. I can't even remember now. Back over
yeah,
the weekend,
gets that way, doesn't it?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Anyway,
right.
there was a lot of shooting going on over in Louisiana. I was on that side of the lake, and they were really banging and booming. So, I mean, I saw a couple of boats come by, sent a bio over there, and they had quite a few birds laying on the deck of their boat. And Weegean were well represented for them, too.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a good
we got
duck.
A lot of ball pates this year.
Yeah. It was by the way they were shooting, I think they had a lot of duck. I could see a lot of duck for the first time this year.
Yeah.
First weekend, I've actually saw very many. And they were shooting and everything. The ducks would fly by some flocks, and the geese came down. I actually saw snow geese, and pretty good numbers, which that was kind of exciting to hear them again. But,
oh, I used to love it over there. You'd be wading at East Shoreline over there in January or February, and all them geese are rafted up in the marsh, and man, they
oh
just,
yeah.
Man, you're sitting there waiting, catching trout, and you got these beautiful snows just locked up coming in right over your head to land in that big roost behind you, you know, where you're wade fishing. That was always pretty cool.
Yeah, they, you know, they didn't burn the marsh that much this year. They didn't have time, I guess, because all the hurricanes.
True.
I'm surprised those folks even have time to hunt after all they've been through.
Boy, I'm telling you.
Hey, it's
man's got to know his priorities.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey,
man's got to do what a man's got to do.
Preparing stuff for a while now. We're going to put it on the back burner and go make a duck hunt or pop a weight or go fishing, you know?
Yeah, that opening day, there was trucks and trailers at every little shell dump on the side of a bow. And little boats being put in going, you know, man, they were out there.
Yeah.
There was some times that they sounded like they were shooting right at us. I mean, you know, a big old 3-inch magnums going off. Oh, whoa, go, whoa. It kind of was unnerving, but never did see any shot fall in the water. I'm sure they all had pretty good hunts. But the fishing was good too. We caught real well all 3 days, and mostly specks and some pretty good ones too. I had trout up to 3 pounds, which is, that's exciting business for me.
Man, call the Chronicle.
I had one about 4 out of the whole days and out of all those days. But we had some solid Texas trout on the Louisiana side.
Cool.
And I heard some pretty serious rumors that they were catching them over on the Texas side as well. And I didn't have very many that were under 15, 2 or 3, probably 14ers.
Yeah.
And we caught some pretty good solid flounder, and we really weren't fishing for them. But I hope they stay there for another 3 or 4 days so this weather clears, because I've got their number now. I'm going back with blood in my eye.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to catch me some flounder. There's quite a few 14 to 20-inch flounder, 21-inch flounder over there.
Yeah. They're gonna start staging up with this next front coming. I know they can feel it coming. The one this weekend, it's gonna be the real deal here.
I think so.
Let me take a quick break and come right back at you. This won't be
sure,
a long
buddy.
One. Hang on, man. Tickle your turkey while I'm taking a break. Get that turkey ready. All right. It's 4:13 here at Sports Radio 610. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a brief time out. We'll be right back after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thanksgiving morning. We are here alive and well. 4:15 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Bill. Okay, Bill, I told you that was a short one.
You were right. That was the fastest break ever.
That's the ones I like. Get back to business.
Yeah, well, we caught all of our fish on Little John's. No secret there.
Well, I'm telling you.
That's just about the right size to match the shrimp that are on the bottom of the system out there. And those fish were wherever the shrimp were. And you'd float along there, and I'm just pretty much drift fishing in the deeper part of the water, 6-7, sometimes 10 foot in the mouths of the bows. And once you found them, there was no sign to let you know they were there. You just had to work it. And it's real finesse fishing. Throw it out there and let it go all the way to the bottom and swim it.
Right.
Right along the bottom. And those trout were there. That was a lot of fun. Really pretty healthy fish. So that tells me that there's still a lot of shrimp and flounder and specks up the bows. We even caught a bass one day.
You told me that the last time I talked to you. I remember you telling me.
Yeah, he was in the lake. That sucker was in the lake. Crazy. And, I think that was Saturday. No, Friday. That was Friday.
Maybe he's a shrimp eating bass.
And what he was doing out in the lake, I don't know.
Maybe he's calling him shrimp, man.
Yeah, hey. Everybody's got to get some of that.
Yes, sir.
It's good for Cajuns, rednecks, and any other critter that walks or crawls or flies.
Everything likes shrimp.
Everything likes shrimp. You're right. But that was the pattern. And the more natural looking the lure color was, the better it seemed to work. Water's real clear, dark, clear water. You can see down 4 feet. Just really classic Sabine Lake fishing.
Yeah. Well, Sunday, that front coming in there, when it hits, it's going to be northwest 20 to 25 knots. And, it's Sunday night. They're calling for north winds. It'll go due north at 25 knots with gust to gale force possible. And then
that'll put everything on the move out of the marsh.
Yes, it will. We're gonna get a dump. We're gonna empty some backwater with this blow.
See, we've still got high water back in the marsh right now.
Oh yeah. Well, we won't after this one. North winds 20 to 25 on Monday. That's knots. And
yeah,
calming down on Monday night to 15 to 20 knots. So we're going to lose some water with this one. We're going to get a good dump. And those flounder are really falling with this.
I'm going to fish a little bit more this year before I quit and go hunting again. So hopefully it'll come another couple of warm-ups before Christmas. That'd make it real nice.
Well, it doesn't look like I'm going to have much fishing early next week. I may just have to skip out of here. And,
that's what I'd do if I were you. I
finally got some weather. I was going to go this past week, and I was going to slide out on Sunday and hunt and come back, you know, today. But too hot of weather. I mean, I was looking down there at the weather the last couple of days. It got up to 90 degrees down there where I'd have been hunting, so I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, that's just a little too warm.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when I went hunting the other day, I had some of the prettiest, coolest weather It was just absolutely brilliant sky.
Yeah, where did you go?
Up to Palestine.
Oh, you did? You went to Palestine?
Yeah. I have a friend up there that owns about 103 acres. Mm-hmm. Has a nice mobile home on it, and he don't live there. He lives down in Houston, but right. That's where his farm is, and it's strictly for deer hunting. It's set up for deer hunting. Right. Pretty hilly country, mixed pines and oaks, and he's got some hay pasture, but it's set up. The pasture edges are irregular. They're not square or rectangular fields. They're just, you know, you could tell whoever built that place up and cleared it, mm-hmm. did it just for deer hunting.
Right.
And everywhere it narrows down and opens back up, there's a stand by an ice box blind up in the air. And he had a lot of deer, and they were protein fed and fat and happy.
Yes, sir.
I saw some beautiful bucks. I mean, nice ones. I'll have to text you a couple of those pictures. I had big, massive 8 points walking around my stand about 20 yards from me.
Man.
Eating corn that I threw out on the ground, you know. that was fun to watch. I couldn't shoot a buck, so I didn't get too excited about it.
When I was a kid, I had some relatives, quite a few that lived in Palestine, and my Uncle David lived there. And I remember he shot a real big deer back in, I don't know, late 50s, early 60s. I mean, it was a good one. It was like a county record then, so I don't know if it still holds anymore or not. But he was a big deer hunter.
This man and his son have already taken two really big 8 points. Yeah. For 8 points, they were studs.
Oh, yeah.
And those deer weighed like a little over 200 pounds on the hoof. That's a big deer for East Texas.
Yeah, it is. That's a good one.
They actually have scales and weigh them. And, mm-hmm. They don't shoot many deer every year. They manage it for good-sized deer.
Sure.
It's a beautiful place. All of his neighbors are on the same kind of management plan. They're all just not shooting any bucks unless they're mature, 4 years old or on up. And the deer are not pressured, not like East Texas at all. It's just different.
Remember when everybody used to run all them deer in East Texas with dogs?
Oh, my God. I was in on it and with the best of them.
Oh, them poor deer never got a break, man.
And I never liked doing that either. I hated dog hunting. From the day I first learned how to do it, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And for one thing, you couldn't get on the stand fast enough. My uncle, he'd always turn the dog loose where everybody'd get to the stands. I hated that. And then we'd spend one day hunting deer and a week hunting the dogs.
Oh, boy.
They'd go to DeRidder across the river. They'd go to Maryville. They'd go, God only knows where, Boxwood, plumb out to darn near to Kirbyville. That was an exciting hunt. Huh. Yeah. People call you, hey, we got one of your dogs over here. Drive over there and pick them up.
I remember those old cow horns. They'd make those horns into to call them dogs back in.
Oh, yeah.
I got a couple of them hanging in my tackle room that my father-in-law and them used back in the day.
Oh, I wanted one of those, but my cousin wound up getting all of his dad's stuff. And he had some really neat ones, too. My uncle actually made them, and they would really sound off.
Yep.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a different era.
Yeah,
And back when I started hunting, they had stock law, and you couldn't shoot the hogs. It was deer only. And everybody had hogs in the woods. You shoot one of them, you get arrested. And now look what we've got.
I'm telling you.
Hogs everywhere.
Well, there is a lot of them.
Yeah, there is. I guess we just have to eat our way out of the problem.
You know, I was coming home from duck hunting yesterday morning, and I don't know, it's about 9:30 or 10 in the morning, and I exited off of I-10 and got on 565 there to cut to the back way to my house. And this doe just walks across the road, right in the middle. I mean, traffic everywhere, and she just walks across the road like nothing. And I said, man, there's got to be a buck on her. And she went over and got between two, was heading through this thick cover between two houses. And I look over the right, and there's an 8-point buck standing there on the other side of that barbed wire fence. He was tailing that doe. So we're there in broad daylight.
My wife liked to run over a big 10-point about a mile from the house, going to take grandson to school. Mm-hmm. On the way back, she liked to hit that thing. He run right out in front of her and almost messed that Toyota up.
Man.
He was a nice one. I said, well, I wish he'd come to the yard and stand around a little while.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't make it long.
Nope. No, yeah. I'd fix his situation for him.
Turn him into a sausage dog. You know, I'm glad to hear y'all are, you know, Sabine and our area over here are very similar in the way the fish reproduce. You know, you naturally, y'all have a lot of marsh. We have a lot of marsh, you know, estuaries for these fish. And, you know, I was talking to him another day about this. We got a lot of 1 to 3 year old fish. So if we can, you know, get them through and keep taking care of these fish, we're gonna be back fairly quick. In a couple of years we should have some really solid fish swimming around.
I think
little ones through, you know. And I see it more and more. A lot of people are really they've been into catch and release the last 2 or 3 years more than I've ever seen, and that's what it takes.
Well, everybody's finally learning, you know, that's what you got to do. If you're going to have big trout, you've got to let them go.
Just like big deer. If you shoot 2 and 3 year old deer, you're not going to have any big deer. And, it's coming around, but a lot of, you know, you can just tell what Harvey did. It just cleaned our systems out. I mean, it just totally just flushed them.
It flushed a lot of our fish out in the Gulf.
And yes, it did. And now we're getting a turnaround. All these spawned fish are growing up. And, you know, the age class we're sitting in that's most prevalent right now, 1, 2, and quite a few 3-year-olds.
And, yeah.
You know, once
we get those. Yeah, that's what we need. We get, and we have such prolific estuaries that, you know, you get a couple of good spawns. Like, we've got salt water all through the summer this year.
Right.
It never did get that fresh. Going into May, it was still pretty fresh, but then it salted up real quick about the time the fish got to building their eggs.
Right.
And we went through the summer, it was fairly salty, and I think most of the fish seem to have got off a good spawn. And that's just going to help us if we can.
Up my way, I think we probably got off a good fall spawn this year because of the warmer water temperatures, you know, that we've had. And that can only help, too. And, you know, these fish know when it's critical, and they allow for it. You know, they double up on their spawns and everything else, and they're foraging. And so,
well, all of our fish now are totally empty of eggs.
Yeah, they're done.
And they were done by the end of September, basically.
Right.
So we should have a real good biomass. It ought to turn around a little better, and hopefully we won't have any severe floods in February, March.
Right. That's what hurts us.
Yeah, if we can go through a kind of a regular year where it's just a little brackish and not a flood. I mean, you know, it's always fresh and salty cycles.
Sure.
In Trinity Bay and Sabine Lake. Calcasieu, it's always like that. But for 4 years, we had nothing but record floods. And that hurt us a lot. So we'll see how it comes out. But as far as the numbers, and I really think that the 5 fish trout limit is helping on the Texas side.
I think it is too. It can only help. I watched what they went through down south of us, you know, through Rockport and the Corpus area. Man, it was just, they were just totally obliterated. Port O'Connor, too, and that five-fish limit. They're starting to see the big, significant change in fish stocks and fish size now.
And, yeah.
You know, a lot of guys down there that I know, they those 22-inch and above trout, they won't keep them. You know, they just go ahead and release them, and if the customers want freezer meat,
that's a good thing.
You know, they put them on the 16 to 20-inch class, and that helps because, boy, that once you get above 20 inches, that, you know, from about 21 to 26 inches, that is, man, that's your brood stock. Those are the ones that really do multiple spawns and have the best spawns, the most successful
ones. That's true. And they're not the best eating ones either.
No.
Smaller ones are the better eating fish.
No, I don't want a big old oily trout, fishy tasting trout, old. He's eaten a lot of bad stuff in his life.
That could be said of any big fish anywhere, I think.
That's true. Know? Yep.
The young ones are a whole lot less likely to be carrying any pollution. So that's, well, in a way, I don't have a complaint against Louisiana's 12-inch limit. They know they get a spawn out of them before they get caught. But the problem is 15's too many fish to keep and 25 is totally ridiculous.
Right.
So they just need to drop their number limit. I think the rest of it will take care of itself.
Well, they were kind of sitting on go to have hearings, you know, scoping meetings and make those changes. But with the COVID thing, they kind of backed off.
Yeah, so wait the COVID year, changed right? Everybody's mind. And,
yeah, it did. It screwed everything up.
I'd like to see them make a move. But, you know, here we go.
All right,
we'll see
Bill.
What happens this year.
Well, good luck on your turkey and happy Thanksgiving and all that. If somebody wants to come over and fish with you at Sabine Lake, give them out a number, man.
All right, 409-786-2018.
All right, Bill. You have a happy Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you Saturday, and be safe, my friend. Enjoy.
Yeah, you take care as well.
All right, Bye-bye. Bill. Take care, buddy. See ya. All right, that's Captain Bill Watkins weighing in on a Thanksgiving morning. Good guy. Well, you know, Texan Roofing, you talk about good guys over there. You know, these are the people I trust. Texan Roofing, they cover Houston and surrounding areas. And Texan Roofing has free estimates on any roof leak repair or replacement. They do residential and commercial. And Texan Roofing has the Better Business Bureau A-plus rating with no complaints ever. And they're certified as a GAF Master Elite Shingle Applicator, so they can offer their customers the best material warranties available, and most importantly, a 25-year leak-free warranty. Along with their honest roof inspections, they treat their customers like family. A-plus installers and A-plus management, these are reasons to call Texan Roofing at 281-391-9600. That's 281-391-9600 or TexanRoofing.com. That's Texan Roofing, experience you can trust. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:35 in the Bayou City. All right, let's get back to the phones. We're going to go talk to the fish dude now, and I'm sure he's on the ranch hunting for Thanksgiving this weekend, him and his wife and family. Let's check in with him. Richard, what's up?
Well, good morning. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm here. Happy Thanksgiving,
That's
buddy.
Good. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and now we're done with the hunting stuff. I shot me a pretty one, though.
I saw that. Your wife did, too.
No giant. I know. That's something else. Yeah, I was sitting there. I told her, she got hers that morning. I looked at mine. I said that I wasn't even going to shoot nothing. I told you I wasn't going to shoot nothing. I wasn't trying to. And that thing stepped out there, and I said, you know, I already told myself he wasn't at least 10-point. I ain't shooting. And I'm sitting there just fiddling around. I'd seen a whole bunch of this and a whole bunch of that. So I was mainly after pigs and goats and stuff like that. And sat there and watched, and I'm just looking around. I look up, and all of a sudden, dang, that buck ain't been standing there. I pull my binoculars up, and I said, he's got 11, it looks like. I said, at first I saw that one side that had 6 on it. I said, dang, that's 12 points. I said, that there ain't seen one of them in a while, so I might have to look at him a little harder. I looked at him, sure enough, boom, took him down. But we came on back, so I went to Rayburn. I didn't go to Rayburn yesterday. I went to Rayburn the day before yesterday. Yeah, I told my wife, I said, dang it, we're done hunting. We're back at the house. I'm ready to go fishing somewhere. So I told her, I said, you won't go? She said, no. I said, all right then. I said, I can't make up my mind where I want to go. I don't know if I want to go to Fayette County or Rayburn. I've never fished Fayette County, so I said, well, dang, I want to go over there. And then I said, well, that rattle trap deal's coming back up on Rayburn, so it's in January. So I said, well, but dang, I better get over there. So I hooked up and headed over to Rayburn and started fishing some Bill Lewis baits and stuff and catching some fish. So it wasn't too bad.
Good.
It kind of surprised me. I even caught me a decent one, about 6 pounds, so it wasn't too bad awesome. At all. I know. That's something else. And that grass over there is kind of weird, too. It's about like it was last year, though. There ain't much. You know, I'm used to that 80s and 90s grass where it's 12, 15, 18 foot deep on the edges. You don't see that out there no more. I mean, they've controlled with the lake level and stuff like that. They learned how to control that grass growth when they release, you know, certain times of the year. When the water's cold, they can control the depth that it actually grows at. But I only fish in one little area over there, and it's kind of nice. We're about ready to get to Conroe, but I'm headed to Crockett today. So
Crockett?
Yep, that's where the wife's family's at. So we're going to head up there and do some rifle sighting in and stuff like that. I'm going to do some fishing in the pond, but I thought about taking the boat and go fish Houston County. But I decided not to. That'd make her mad if I do that, so I better not do that. One of them things, but dang it, I tell you what, I'm ready to get back out there on Conroe and do some catching, because them dang old catfish are still going crazy. And I know them hybrids are doing good, so it's after today, it's on. I'll be out there all weekend long. Hopefully that dang rain will back off and not blow too hard when that front comes in, so. It's you know, that's one of the things I'm worried about, is that rain and wind right now, because it's there's supposed to be another cold front coming, and if it comes in as hard as they say, it's that dang, the wind's going to cut through there hard, and it's going to be coming out of the wrong direction. I think.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of wind Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Now that'd be all right. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday don't hurt my feelings. It's tomorrow and Saturday. Tomorrow, I think it's going to be the windy day, but I think it's going to be in the afternoon.
Well, it'll be a pumping south ahead of that front.
Yes. And then that then
80% chance of rain, you know, here tomorrow, you know, along the coast.
Yeah,
I don't know what it'll be up above us.
See, that's one of the biggest things that a lot of people don't understand. You know, along the coast, you'll get rain, and it's almost a daily thing, you know, but up. Once you get north of Houston, it changes. We've talked about that thing many times. It's like, I don't know what it is between the north side of Houston and Conroe, that storms sometimes they just never make it. Unless they're pushing in with the front, you know, they'll come in and blow through like that one did. What was yesterday when that thing blew in? Good. Man, we got an inch and a quarter of rain out of it. And it didn't take long.
It fizzled out when it got down here by the coast. We were duck hunting yesterday morning, and I was watching that wind coming in those low-lying clouds, and I said, man, we're fixing to get slammed.
Yeah.
I put my slicker on, and it barely sprinkled on us. Boy, and after that, them ducks started moving. It was on. It was really good.
I'll tell you what, that's something I've been noticing on Conroe lately. Them dang ducks. There's a bunch of them out there, but they're all rafting. Not all of them. A lot of them are rafting up in the middle. I've been seeing a bunch of teal just rafting up out in the middle of the lake. I mean, it's crazy. I'll be running across there, and it's let's say I run 3 or 4 miles down the lake, and that 3 or 4 miles I'll run across a couple of groups of about 30 to 50 teal just sitting out there in the middle, and then they'll just take off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy. They're smart. They done got shot at too much or something. I don't know what it is. Them rascals, they jump up there. And in Conroe, you know, it's not a hunting lake, but you got to have a type 2 permit for the, you know, hunting the national forest and stuff like that, along with your federal state duck stamp and all that. But it's, you know, the problem with Conroe is it's such a small lake with the number of people that are trying to hunt it and stuff like that. So, and there's limited areas. You can only hunt north of 10A7 in like on north side of Caney Creek. You can't hunt south side. You can't hunt Weir's Creek at all. There's just only certain areas that you can hunt on the lake. And speaking of Weir's Creek, Weir's Creek is right there by Stowaway Marina. There's a, it's just one creek south of the marina. There was one year I pulled in back there because there's a place back there called Castaway RV Park, or it used to be. I don't know if it's still there or not. I'm assuming it still is. But I used to pick people up back there every once in a while. And one morning, I was actually about midday, I was running back in there. And as I got to the back of this thing, now the back of this creek, the average depth's probably about 3 feet. And it's about a half mile wide and a mile deep, let's say. This whole thing, back of this thing, was so full of ducks. I don't think you could have fit another one in there. When I pulled in there with that boat, the sun blacked. They blacked out the sun when they took off. There were so many of them. And it was everything. It was mallards. It was teal, mud ducks. You name it. They were all in there. And I mean, dang, shovelers everywhere. I saw a bunch of shovelers the other day. They didn't give you things. But they everything was all back in there. And when they got off that water, I mean, it literally blacked out the sky. I only seen that with a friend of mine sent me a video from Canada when it got into some geese that did that. And that was just some weird stuff when they black out the sun like that. And it's fun to see, but dang, you'd think just shoot a couple of rounds and you'd hit everything. I mean, good night, them things are crazy. But it's that whole creek, I guarantee you there was so many dang birds in there, and they knew you couldn't get them. You couldn't fire around in that creek. That's why they were in there, because they knew they were protected. Mm-hmm. They were in the sanctuary. Oh, goodness. But them dang, the water temperature is dropping pretty good, too. You know, that's one of the things I've been noticing. With hybrid fishing, I noticed the other day it was down 64, so we're getting down there where we need to be, and them hybrids are starting to get fairly consistent anyway. Even though I hadn't been, you know, this week, but every day they're just getting more and more consistent. They're just showing up in these little historical spots where they always show up, and when you get them in there, it's wide open.
Yeah, we'll get a good drop out of this next front, and that'll that ought to light things up. That ought to really pile the flounder run up and get your hybrids excited and moving and snapping like they're supposed to do when it gets colder. And
now, speaking of the flounder run, though, on that on the flounder deal, what is the law on keeping flounder in November and December?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah, and then midnight December 14th, and it changes back, and you're able to gig, too. They can start gigging again.
Okay. Well, I know they were talking about it, and so apparently they cut out the gigging also, huh?
Right, no gigging right now, and only two.
See, that's
two per person with rod and reel only right now.
I'll be darned. See, I heard they were going to do that, but that's been years ago. I heard they were going to get rid of the gigging part of it, and I guess they did.
All right, buddy.
Because that's what I like doing.
Well, Richard, I guess have you a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy your family and all that and cherish it, because you never know when it's going to be gone, and somebody wants to come up to Conroe and wet a line with you. You know, shove them some info out there, buddy.
All right, Mickey, you want to get in touch with me, 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
And just for a little info, next Wednesday morning it's going to be 37 in Houston. 40 on Tuesday morning. So, hey, this is the real deal.
It's about time.
About time. You got it, my friend. All right, Richard. All right, have a good Thanksgiving. Be safe on the roads, and I'll talk to you Saturday. Take care, my friend.
Yes, sir.
All right. See you, buddy. All right, later. All right, that's the fish dude up on Lake Conroe. Now let's go down to Matagorda and let's check in with Charlie P. Mr. Paradosky. What's up, bud?
Good morning. How
good
are
morning.
You?
Well, you got a big day planned today, buddy?
No, just eat and relax.
There you go.
Eat and relax.
I can relate to that. That's going to be a good day.
Yeah. Probably eat too much. Probably drink too much, so whatever.
Well, isn't that part of it?
Yeah, that is it. That is it. But, no, I've been fishing the past 3 days, and we had to put up a lot of wind Monday and Tuesday. Ended up in the river, and, you know, they released a bunch of water somewhere upstream.
Did they?
Yeah. You know, and it changed the color on top. Now, some of them, you know, some people go to that river every day, and they catch them. They peck on them. But it was slow for me. You know, we caught a few good fish, but, you know, they do that. They just release water upstream sometimes, and I don't know what that's all about during a drought, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't either. Maybe tomorrow morning when I talk to Bob Green, he'll know something about it up there at Fayette County.
Right. Went to the bay yesterday, Mickey, and it was just dead flat calm. That front didn't hit till about 9 o'clock. And I had a family, and luckily we were pecking on some good fish out there. And then that front hit at 9 o'clock. And what few boats were out there, I watched them all hook them. It started blowing about 20. And I stayed out there, and them fish, it took me about an hour to figure out where they were, but them fish lit off.
Did they?
Never stopped. Good. Had no boats around or nothing. So they had a good day. They had a pile of meat to take home, and they don't go but once or twice a year, so, you know, they got some meat to eat.
Good.
Wore me out, but they got them. I was tired when I got there cleaning all that damn fish.
Boy. What, mostly trout?
Trout, reds, big sand trout.
Yeah, y'all got those bonus fish working this year, man, and extra sand trout. That, you can stack a box with those.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, as long as they eat them when they're fresh, if they don't freeze them, which is what most people do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just shouldn't eat them as anything. They're good.
Heck yeah, they are. I like making ceviche out of them.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Never see no worms in them or nothing. Good little old piece of meat. And what I like is when those golf trout move in, I'm waiting for them to come.
Yeah, buddy.
We need some cold fronts, and it looks like we've got one coming.
We got a good one coming Sunday.
Yeah. I'm booked all next week, and it looks like I'm going to have to call some of that with this weather, but we'll see.
Yeah, them first couple of days probably going to be a little iffy for you there, bro.
Yeah.
Brah.
Yeah. But you know what? You never know. You get some of these people, and they want to go anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know? At least, you know, maybe by then the river. You know, usually when they do that release like that, you know, just changes things for a couple of days.
Yeah, maybe it's just a little temporary setback.
Yeah. I mean, you've got people that go there every day and catch fish. You know, they'll argue the fact that there's a change, but, I mean, the river's full of fish. It's full of bait, full of fish. It was just so pretty and emerald green for a long time. You know, it's laid back fishing. Some people prefer to do that. Me, I'd rather be out the bay.
Me too. I'm with you.
Yeah. That's my kind of fishing. And God knows we got a few fish out there too, so we just keep going. So you had a good duck hunt, huh?
Oh yeah, it was a beautiful shoot. I mean, just my favorite way to hunt. You know, just good and steady, and birds responding to, you know, at I've used a lot of calls over the years, you know, different kind, and but I tell you something about our area, east of town, all that marsh, it's hard to beat a sure shot 650. That mallard call is just, the ducks like it. It's smooth. It's not real raspy. It's just, they like that call and that tone.
Right.
We've been using that call now for 40 years or better. And, boy, just beautiful ducks. We had all, you know, I saw one flight of teal right before shooting time yesterday morning. They came right over, sounded like a 747 with their wings, the way they come right over the blind. And it was about 30 birds in that flight. And that was the only big flight of ducks I saw. The rest of the birds just, they kept coming from the east to us. And they were in groups of 2 to 6 ducks. You know, some of those gadwall groups were, you know, 8 or 10 ducks. But, right. Boy, they respond to a call good and work right in there. You can just set them. I mean, it's just like reeling them in on a rod and reel. And they wanted that call. They wanted you to stay on the high ball all the way to the decoys. You let off of them, they'd start fading away. You had to get right back on them, bring them back to you. It was fun, man. I love that.
Yeah, I saw a lot of ducks yesterday on the move, too, in front of that front. Lots of ducks for a change. But we need some of these cold fronts. Just don't feel like winter.
No, it's fixing to be, though. It will next week. Yeah, we'll have some lows in the, well, Tuesday morning will be 40 for a low, and then Wednesday morning 37 for a low.
When you're catching big old hardheads on plastics.
Still this late in the year, isn't that crazy?
What the hell are they? I mean, big ones, too.
I mean, it's almost December, and there's still hardheads in the bay.
Holy cow. We even caught some in the river the other day.
Well, them Corky fishermen won't like that while they're waiting, catching them nasty hardheads. There's something about a Corky them hardheads love, isn't it?
Yeah, and these big little hardheads like this, that's the ones that will jump on a Corky, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Big old melon-headed hardheads.
Yep.
Well, Charlie, don't overindulge too much today, but it is the day we do that.
That's right. Yep, we're going to sit around and soften up a little bit and get back at it once this weather passes.
All right, buddy. Well, Charlie, if somebody wants to call you and get some info and hook up with a fishing trip, will you give them a number, bud?
713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Hey, it's always a pleasure, man, and happy Thanksgiving, buddy. I'll talk to you.
Same to you, Mickey. Take care.
All right. See you, Charlie. All right, take care. All right, that's Captain Charlie P. down Matagorda way. All right, well, it's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back after these messages.
Smile. Open your mouth wide.
You're listening to Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.